Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name's Nancy, and today I have a great guest. I love her to death. She's very good with what she does, so we're going to bring her on right away. Her name is Marguerite Manning. So, hi, Marguerite. How are you?
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
I'm being good, you know, hanging in there, doing what I got to do. And are you being behave yourself here?
I'm trying to, but I'm not always very successful at it, but I'm trying.
I know. It gets kind of boring.
It does.
You're always too good. So, Marguerite, let's talk a lot about you and tell everybody what you do. You're an author, and you do a lot of things. So let's talk a little bit about who you are.
Okay. I am an author and an astrologer and what I call a karmic counselor. I started a while ago when I started practicing astrology, and actually it started with my love for astronomy. I had a passion for the stars above, and then I started reading Edgar Cayce, and I started developing an even stronger passion for the spirit within. And between the science of the stars and Edgar Cayce, I came to the realization that, you know, this universe only works divinely when we recognize both the spiritual and the scientific and the physical level of this universe, and they work in tandem with each other. And I started looking at the birth chart from the scientific as well as the spiritual perspective, and then there was no turning back for me. Everything became crystal clear. Even my spirituality, the religion that I grew up with, everything came into one complete package for me when I realized that by looking at the birth chart and bringing the science and the spirit and the mental, the three levels that our ancient astronomers knew that this universe operated on, which was the mental, the physical, and the spiritual level, and seeing the universe from that perspective, all three levels, I realized that, you know, there's no such thing as just having to choose between evolution or you know, intelligent design, that they all work in tandem with each other. That there, I believe in the science that, you know, got us here, and the soul that keeps us coming back. And I think that looking at the universe from that perspective, and not a religious one per se, but from the perspective of all three levels, it's easy to see that and embrace all three. And the birth chart is a perfect example of it. I believe it's a universal map of not just the energies that our physical body was born under, but a spiritual documentation of what our soul was born into. And I think on a very unconscious level, these stars and these universal energies guide us on the path that we chose in this lifetime to better ourselves. So the celestial energies that each of us were literally born under is really nothing less than a universal documentation of the spiritual agenda our soul is being physically born into, the one we chose as our own personal plan of development for this lifetime. So it's kind of like a celestial syllabus, if you will, and like any syllabus, if we show up for class and do the required reading and hand in our homework, how could we not become what we plan to be? And that's, I think, what destiny is. People think it's so faded. It's either there or it's not. And I believe what we all seem to forget is that we came into this world with this contract, but we always have that free will option, and we tend to screw it up ourselves when we override our contract and say, I'm not showing up for class today, or I'd rather do something else. So I don't think it's divine punishment or anyone stepping in giving us a hard time. It's just we were born into this life with free will, and we can do what we said we were going to do, or we can sit back and not.
Okay. Now, that little beep that came in meant I'm thinking there's a caller right now. So we're gonna do that caller if there is one there, and then I have some questions to ask you that I'm sure a lot of people would want to know, but maybe they haven't
sure.
thought about them.
I still have your I still have your chart in my files, Nancy, so we have a lot on your soul sorted path we can get into.
We'll pick on me in a little bit.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Hello, yes I am.
Can I have your name, please?
Hi, this is Erin.
And Erin, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I'm actually a big fan of your show and also Marguerite Manning. I just read her article, her long article about Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have a Mars in Virgo, and I wanted to ask her maybe a little more information about that with my sign. I'm actually a Virgo as well.
Okay.
And when was your birthday, Erin?
September 20th.
What year?
1985.
And where were you born?
Fairfax, Virginia.
And do you have a time?
Yes, I think it's 3:09 in the afternoon.
Okay, let me just pull up your chart here and let's see what I can... You're absolutely right. You do have a Mars in Virgo. And the article that you're referring to, which I really appreciate your reading, is that while Mars is not one of your soul's promises to the universe in your contract, it is one of the energies that you use to fulfill those promises. And I call Mars our astrological Y chromosome, because it's what the ego, when we came into this incarnation, the sun represents our spirit. But our spirit actually spawned an ego so that we could survive down here on the materialistic planet Earth. And that's where our ego comes in, and we push people out of the way, and it's all about me. But that's the only way we get anything physically accomplished down here, Aaron. And as I said in the article, and looking at your Mars there in Virgo, you're someone who is driven to accomplish what you promised to accomplish. You promised to be a superstar with that beautiful sun in Virgo, and you also came into this incarnation with a Mars in Virgo. So what you promised to do in this lifetime is push that sun to stardom by making a difference in this lifetime. And you're going to do it on a very physical and practical level. There's some kind of skill that you were born with in this lifetime that makes you, it's a technical skill, and it's probably a very physical one, but it's something that can be used in every single day life where you can actually make a difference. This is a perfect example of someone who's an excellent teacher for the handicapped, or somebody who has some kind of technical skill in engineering. But there's some kind of physical skill that you were born with, and you promise to use those physical skills to become a superstar in this lifetime. What kind of physical skills do you have that are different from everyone else, Erin?
Well, I actually do sign language, and I am the type of person, I'm a pretty good mimic with things, like with my body or things like
sign
that.
Sign language is a perfect example of it. If it's not necessarily just sign language, it's the ability to communicate on a much deeper level to other mm-hmm. people, but on a very practical, physical level. And this is how you promised to, and you have very, 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 very discerning skills. So you can be very fussy and very judgmental and very picky. But you were supposed to. You're supposed to find the flaws and bring them to everyone else's attention. Does that sound like you?
Yes, it sounds a lot like me.
And let me tell you something. With that eighth house sun, you're never, ever going to be happy in this lifetime unless you're doing something that makes a difference. Not just a little bit of a difference, but a big difference in people's lives. Mm-hmm. You want to be busy, but you have to make a difference. That's the eighth house sun. You have no problem being the helpful know-it-all. When you come into the world with a Virgo degree like you did, you can see all the flaws. You can see the problems we don't see because your soul was universally trained in that. But you promise to take that degree and apply it where it makes a big difference. You have to get down there in the gut-wrenching trenches of life and make a difference for the people where it matters. So I think the sign language is something or along that area that you are supposed to. And you have so many skills and so many talents, but whatever one you use, it's got to be something that makes a difference, a life and death difference in everybody's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like something that you need to... You'll probably find that there's a lot of things that you have an interest in, and I see that Venus and Leo, so there's a lot of things that you have an interest in, but you're never, ever going to be happy, Erin, unless you're making a difference. Does that sound like you?
Yeah, it sounds a lot like me. I definitely agree with that.
Okay, well, do that then, because I'm telling you, eighth house sons are never happy. And they're very intense, and they're never happy unless they're making a difference in people's lives that count, a big difference.
Okay, yeah, thank you so much. That makes a lot of sense. It sounds a lot like me, too.
You're very welcome.
Okay,
good.
Thank you.
Erin, you take care, okay?
Yes, thanks so much.
Bye-bye now.
Welcome. Bye now. That was pretty interesting. Yeah, I was going to talk about your article about Mars and our astrology, and you call it the Y chromosome. What, you know, when you put it like that, maybe explain it a little bit more, Marguerite, so people can understand why Mars is kind of important.
Okay, when we came into this incarnation, and the sun represents our soul and our spirit and what we promise to do, what we promise to be in this lifetime. And as I say to everybody, the sun is where we can be a superstar. This is where we have absolutely every ability to be a superstar. And the universe is behind us 100%. Our sun sign represents our degree. And Nancy, your soul earned its degree in the beautiful constellation Leo. So it's no accident that people revolve around you, that you're here to celebrate love, life, power, and talent. This is what you are universally trained to do. That's very, very easy. It's where the sun's house is that's very, very difficult. And just like Aaron before us, not surprisingly, you came into this incarnation with an eighth house sun. So you're supposed to take that Leo degree and make a difference, make a very big difference in life and death issues, in people's lives and their deaths and their afterlives. down to the very core of who they are. That's what an eighth house son came into this world promising to do. Now, the problem is we were born into a very physical, materialistic world. So when we were born into this incarnation, the spirit spawned an ego so that we could survive on this planet. Our souls are very selfless. They're not materialistic, and they wouldn't know how to operate and survive on something like planet Earth. So we spawned an ego. Mars is the power that fuels that ego. It's the universal power that fuels that ego, and as I say in the article, gives us that me first, out of my way, and you want a piece of me attitude in order for us to live down here. It's very, very different from our soul. Our soul would never survive in this climate, but this is a very physical, competitive climate. So we have to walk a fine line in this lifetime, being spiritual so that we can live up to our highest best, but allowing our ego to take us to the place that we can conquer this planet and actually become that superstar that we said we were, but not in a way we were hurting people, in a very spiritual way. So that's the fine line that we walk down here. And Nancy, you came into this incarnation with Mars in Libra. And the interesting thing about Mars in Libra is they do not like acting alone. They prefer partners. They prefer working with other people because you earned your ability to survive in your last life by being an arbitrator, by being an expert in law, diplomacy, and marriage. So you're very, very other-oriented in this lifetime. You're very partner-driven on this physical planet. So, and you came into this incarnation with Mars in the ninth house, which tells me that you promised to push that sun to stardom by bringing fairness, by bringing beauty, by bringing balance, and by bringing harmony into people's lives in this physical world that would make a difference. And it seems to me as if, Missy, that's exactly what you're doing. But Mars, you'll find that when Mars is in Libra, you really prefer acting with a partner because you were in your last incarnation, that's what you were all about on a physical level, partnership and being other-oriented. Almost to the point sometimes, Nancy, where I tell people when they come into this incarnation with Mars in Libra, they can almost lose their independence sometimes. But I would not, I imagine with your Leo sun, that doesn't happen to you too often, but it can sometimes.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen. I'm a rebel.
Right.
Which is good.
Yeah, it is good. It is good. But you work very well with other people, and people enjoy having you as a partner. And you know how to be a very, very good partner and how to bring people along. And that's really, really important for a Mars in Libra. And that's where you earned your skills in your last incarnation, your survival skills. When you came into this incarnation with Mars in Libra, your actions are now fueled in this lifetime by a profound desire for cooperation and a strong preference for acting with someone else. You're driven by a passion for law, diplomacy, arbitration, and marriage because your skills and abilities in your last life were earned by creating beauty, attaining harmony, and establishing justice. And you'll assert yourself in this life by keeping the peace and seeking approval. And
yeah,
that's...
I do. And I have to tell everybody, I'm a real brute with this list, you know, because I'm trying to get my 501c3, A Child's Miracle Mind, going so I can start the School of Now. And it's helping everybody. It's like not just for me.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people look at a Leo and go, oh, she's so egotistical, she's so this, she's so that, and they really don't have a clue. It's like,
because
that's not really the case. You know?
Well, you know what it is about, what I always find really interesting when people say that about Leos, and I always, and Aries, they say are egotistical too, and they're just so very, very different. And the only analogy that I can use to describe this, Leo is egotistical in this respect, that people revolve around them because they are so willing to celebrate and think of the sun above, give love, power, and talent to all of those people around them. So they're very willing to cater to those people, so people tend to revolve around them, just like we revolve around the sun. And Leos, the thing about Leos, that they get a bad rap for being egotistical, is they know they're very good, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the way that I compare them to Aries, which is the child of the zodiac, that brilliant childlike quality that knows no fear, that knows that the world revolves around them, but in a very egotistical sense where there's nobody else. And the way I equate it is if a Leo and an Aries were in a race and they were coming up to the starting line, and the Leo is flexing its muscles and saying, okay, I'm going to win this race because, you know, cream rises to the top and I'm really good and I'm probably the best one here. And that's very, very, very much the way a Leo would think because they're calling it as they see it. And if we panned over to the Aries, Aries is egotistical in the sense that they would turn around and say, oh, is anybody else in the race? I didn't know that. And that's the difference, where an Aries is focused pretty much on them, because they're here to teach us how to be independent individuals. So they have to be focused on themselves, where that's not true with a Leo. A Leo is focused on bringing sun and light and power and talent into other people's lives. So they feel like the king and the sun because they do it and they do it well. So it's not so much, it's more egocentric with the Leo and egotistical with the Aries.
Yeah, my mom's an Aries. Believe me, I know that.
See, now that's a good match for the two. It's easy to see how a Leo could spring from an Aries because they're very, very confident, both of them. They have a lot of confidence, and rightly so.
Now, we do have another caller come in. I heard a little beep, so.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Nancy.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you ladies doing today?
We're doing well. Now, Marguerite needs your birth date, the time, and the place.
Okay, great. My birthday is 5/5/1983.
Okay, what's your name, hon?
Oh, Jackson.
Okay, Jackson. And what city were you born in?
It's Waynesboro, Virginia.
And you have a time for me?
3:43 a.m.
Okay, Jackson. Okay, Jackson, this is really interesting. You came into this incarnation with Aquarius on your 12th house cusp. Now, I see you've got this brilliant, steadfast, loyal, true blue Taurus sun, and that's so different from Aquarius on your Aquarius. It's a very, very different sign. But let me tell you about the past life that you came from. Your soul's previous existence was one of humanitarian ideals and creative ingenuity. You were, in this lifetime, Jackson, you were committed to the prospect of universal brotherhood and social reform in this past life, but you became involved, I'm looking at the ruling planet, which is Uranus up there in the ninth house, you became involved with people or groups who, while they stimulated your brilliance and shared your scientific principles, they were a little bit more radical, and their revolutionary methods or unconventional associates might have provoked some kind of upheaval, which led to extreme loss or confinement, either for you or for family members. Now, as a result of this last lifetime, in this lifetime, you can be overwhelmed by guilt and shame when you try to get creative, because your creative genius that you think in the last lifetime led to this loss or this confinement for people you cared about. So as a result, you might bury your individuality in this lifetime, making you more independent, inventive, and even eccentric, and sometimes uncooperative, Jackson, than you outwardly appear to other people. Your previous efforts to embrace the future and evoke change left you unconsciously resentful of tradition or authority, but you're afraid again to bring it out like you did in the last lifetime. Does this sound anything like you, Jackson?
Oh, wow. No, that's really amazing that you're able to get all that
Let me tell you something about, and you have the moon here in the 12th. Let me tell you something about Aquarius on the 12th, Jackson. You are, you are brilliant. You have a creative ability that you're suppressing in this lifetime. You have a creative genius, and I don't mean just that you have a brilliant mind, that you have the ability in this lifetime to create or invent something that is absolutely ahead of its time, brilliant, and with the moon there, people can bring into their homes and you can make a lot of money off of it. So, but you have to get past the idea of being outwardly different will get you into trouble, because that was yesterday, and as they say, yesterday's gone. This is a whole new life for you and your soul. Your past undoing was, yes, those innovative and rebellious tendencies that you had, hooking up with the wrong friends and taking them at face value, but your hidden strengths in this lifetime as a result of this Aquarius on the 12th is your progressive thinking, and I will bet you, this always happens when I see Aquarius on the 12th, I will bet you, Jackson, you have flashes of brilliant intuition. You don't know where it came from sometimes, but you just believe in it. But there might be a part of you that is afraid to take it to the next level. Would you say that's true?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I started trying to keep just like a little notebook so I can jot
that
down.
That is a wonderful idea. That's a wonderful idea, and I would really like to see you start to bring it into the physical world without being fear. And most people might think you're afraid of rejection. It's not rejection that you're afraid of. You're almost afraid of it getting out of hand like it did the last time, and it won't. That's not what's about to happen in this lifetime. You can unconsciously avoid the close friendships and camaraderie and your success, this brilliant success that's yours for this lifetime, by being drawn to secret societies in this lifetime rather than having your friendships out in the open, and clandestine affiliations and treacherous associates. You have to bring your friendships and the groups that you belong to out in the open and not be afraid of keeping them behind closed doors, because that's where the wrong friendships could fester and manifest, Jackson. You have to bring everything out in the open. When it's on the 12th now, there's nothing to be afraid of in this lifetime. It's not going to be a repeat of yesterday. Your previous influences and experiences, you were some kind of either scientist, astronomer, aviator, revolutionary, humanitarian. These are all the things that the groups that you could have belonged to, you had, that they shared unusual secrets and an unusual goal. And my feeling is, in this lifetime, you can take all those memories and all those things that seem to filter into you periodically and create something with it. You have a brilliant creative ability in this lifetime, Jackson. And Uranus, which rules Aquarius, and your planet is up there in the ninth, and it's in the outside world, beyond the environment you grew up in, far away from where you were raised as a child. And it's beyond that thinking, the philosophy, that religion that you were raised in this life as a child. So it's almost you can't try to be safe in this lifetime. You have to push the outside of the box like you did in the last lifetime, but just not in that extreme radical way. But I don't see that in your chart. That's not going to happen to you in this lifetime. I'd rather see you get over the fear of being different. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really does.
Are you picking up anything, Nancy?
Yeah, I'm going to add a little bit to it, too, Jackson.
Please do.
When Marguerite was talking about you, you know, discovering things and being an inventor, I mean, the very first card up for you was a victory card, which means whatever you try to do, especially during these next 6 months to 6 years, is going to turn out really good. You just have to decide which one you want, because you do come up with many ideas. And because you do that, you don't know which one to take. But I will tell you the secret for that, and everybody who's listening will know this, you know, will work. The ones that linger with you and the ones that stay with you are the ones you need to follow. Do you understand that?
Hey, yes,
okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's what happens to me. I get tons and tons and tons of ideas. I mean, they just flow to me like nobody's business, right? The ones that really sound good to begin with but really aren't so good in the long run, they'll disappear within a week or so. But the ones that are made to stay, they will not go away no matter how much I try to push them away.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to kind of do the same thing with what you're doing, because you always do a lot of searching, a lot of looking, a lot of searching, a lot of looking.
And then you
get yourself all confused, and then that doesn't work, because then it's like, okay, now what do I do, okay?
Yeah.
The other thing is that you do come up with money. So you're coming up with a change of lifestyle for the better with more money anytime from 7 months to 7 years. So, again, it falls right into that same thing of you knowing what you want. You also come up as a Prince of Wands. Prince of Wands means that you do get hurt easily. You do not like people to know that. So you really do hide a lot of your inner emotions very deep inside of you. Is that true?
I would say that's true, yeah.
Your compassion level runs really deep, and you really don't want to hurt others. So you keep walking the fine line, like what Marguerite is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that what she has told you is really very, very true, because it's really not going to happen in this lifetime like it happened in the other lifetime, as long as you know yourself and you trust yourself and you don't ask other people what you want to know. Okay?
Nancy,
wow,
Nancy, it's almost as if you're looking at his birth chart. With that moon in the 12th house, when you were telling him to rely on what stays with him, everything you're saying is reflected in his birth chart. It's amazing how the energies work together like that. Everything you're saying is absolutely right on according to his birth map. So that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
It's good. Jackson, you got two ways there, so that's pretty good. Now you got to follow through, okay?
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you both so much.
You're very welcome,
Jackson.
Thanks for calling. Bye now.
Oh, great. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, now, Marguerite, I'm going to go back to you before somebody else calls. You know, people are fascinated, first of all, with astrology. And a lot of people think that they can read a book and they're going to know how to do it. But that's not really the case, is it?
No, and it really depends, too, Nancy, on the type of astrology that you practice, because my passion is karmic astrology, using the birth chart as a therapeutic tool rather than just a predictive tool. And yet what I love about the birth chart is you can use it as a predictive tool. You can look at the past. You can look at the future. You can look at the now. And depending, I think, on what type of astrology you're interested, I think it takes years to really get into the science of it and to really do a lot of birth charts with it and to come up with your own technique and to understanding. And I think that the people people that absolutely love astrology are willing to invest that kind of time in it, whatever, you know, whichever part of astrology that they love the most. And some astrologers like the mundane astrology, or some astrologers prefer the predictive astrology. And I like it all, but my passion is absolutely the karmic astrology, going back to the soul's past. And I found that when people in this lifetime, it is very, very therapeutic for the soul to know that, okay, this makes sense. This is a choice that I made, and I'm going to evolve as a result of it. I'm not going crazy. These are really things that are happening in my life, and there's a reason for it. It's kind of like saying, okay, I sign up for Poverty 101, and then understanding why you came into this world with two very poor parents and you had to struggle for things. I get it now. I'm supposed to learn this lesson. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very therapeutic for us as individuals to find these. Of course, we have to keep the past where it belongs in the past and not relive it. But I think that helps us not relive the past by knowing what it was and where it does belong.
But see, it does, Marguerite, because a lot of people come here and they really do know, their soul knows what they're really supposed to do.
Right.
But again, because of that free will that we're also given, sometimes we don't necessarily listen to it, and that's when a lot of people tend to get lost.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
So when somebody like you comes in, Marguerite, and says, okay, you know, this is why, this is where it is at this particular point of your life, and this is, you know, where it originally came from, so now you kind of know how to work with it, to me that is one of the most helpful tools that anybody could even ask for.
I agree. I agree, which is why I love the work that you do too. I love the idea of empowering people by enlightening them to what their own choices and their own energies are.
Mm-hmm. And again, it all works hand in hand as long as the people are willing to do their part.
Absolutely.
Because we can tell them all things that we need to tell them all day long, 24/7, and it's probably going to be pretty much right, if not exact right. But unless they do their part, it's not going to come out like what we're trying to help them with.
And, you know, I don't know about you, Nancy, but I have found that most of the time, and there's a few aberrations, but most of the time when people actually come to me are the people who are ready to do the work and are looking for the light. I mean, I get a few that say, okay, was I Napoleon in a past life? And that's not the type of karmic astrology that I do. You know, so I'm not, because that's about ego, finding out, you know, who, what famous. I have never come across anybody where I felt compelled to tell them that they were somebody famous. It's been more about finding out what residue they brought in with them from the past life and why they did. And I think that's much more helpful than finding out that, you know, that you were a king or a queen or something really egotistical in a past life. I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's empowerment, is finding out is where you came from and what you promised to do. And I think that's one of the reasons that in the birth chart, I only see the last life, because that's really all that's... And people will call me and say, well, I know in this life I was this and in that life I was that. And I think that, as Edgar Cayce said, when somebody said, why don't we remember all of our past lives? It's because we could, as human beings, we could get so wrapped up in them that we forget about living the present one.
Right.
So I think it's important to remember, when you're going into the sixth grade, it's really neat to remember everything you learned in the fifth, or at least remember some of it before you go into the sixth. But to go back to kindergarten at that point is so unhelpful, and it can actually get in the way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why the last life in the chart on the 12th house is the one that you brought in with you, because it tells me where the improper programming was, what fears you buried, what you suppressed, and what you need to address in this lifetime to move ahead.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, lifetimes are real important, because it's your time to grow, and everyone has to be a growth to it, or you're going to repeat it anyway.
Right, absolutely. I feel the same way, too.
Now, I did hear another beep, so we'll see. Is there a caller there?
Yes, there is. Hi, Nancy.
Okay.
This is Steve. And
Steve.
Hi, Marguerite Manning. How are you?
Fine. Hi, how are you, Steve?
I'm fine. I wanted to talk to you because my wife is a huge fan of yours, and actually had a private reading with you a few weeks ago.
Oh.
And bought the book Cosmic Karma, and I've read it just recently, and it's brilliant. And it's
I have
a couple of questions for you, because I, you know, if you wouldn't mind.
Not at all.
If I give you my birth information, could you give me some information? I know I'm a Leo.
Oh, give me your birth information. Nancy's a Leo too. I'm surrounded by Leos tonight.
Yeah. It's
I love them. I get along excellent with Leo. So let me have your birthday.
I'm glad to hear that. It's August 19, 1964.
Okay.
And it's Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And you know the time, Steve?
Yes, 2:30 p.m.
Okay. You said Philadelphia, correct?
I'm sorry?
Philadelphia, correct, Steve?
Yeah, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, right.
Okay, Steve, you came into this incarnation with, just as Nancy and I were talking about what I see of your last life, you came into this incarnation with Scorpio on the 12th house. Now, Pluto rules Scorpio, so I have to look to Pluto for further information about this past life of yours. But your soul's previous existence was one of surviving the powerful and unknown forces of nature. Something catastrophic happened in this past life. There were some kind of life-changing consequences of revolution, death, or catastrophe, or even sex. And when I say sex, it could have been you were born out of wedlock to someone, and as a result, your life changed drastically. But whatever this was, Steve, and I would have to do a complete analysis on your birth chart to know the exact event, but it left you dependent on the charity of others in this last lifetime and harboring a profound sense of powerlessness because of that. So in this past life, survival was your priority, so the overwhelming experiences of either emotional abuse, physical violence, or the drastic separation you had from family was deeply buried and dangerously neglected in this life. Now, as a result, of this past life, your soul developed incredible instincts and phenomenal crisis management skills that enable you to uncover powerful reserves that belong to other people or cleverly handle the property or secrets of other people. You know how to get to the bottom of, you know how to stay on top of everything because you know how to get to the bottom of anything. You were made to be very resourceful in this past life, and you brought those skills over into this life with you. Your hidden strengths from this past life, Steve, exceptional courage and fierce determination. Your past undoing was a result of shared assets, having to rely on other people, and secret liaisons that you were kind of trying to form as a result to get to resources that you needed. This past life left you with both a deep need for intimacy, because you knew you had to get people to trust you in order to gain control of resources, and yet a hair trigger defense system that leaves you maybe unable to get close to people in this lifetime. It's almost like a catch-22. Does this sound familiar to you at all, Steve, or resonate with you on any level?
Yeah, well, this resonates on almost every level because I do manage other people's assets. That I'm a crisis management type of person, and I do manage people's financial assets. So that's right on. In terms of catastrophic things, when I am dependent on others, the charity of others. When I was a little boy, my father died when I was very young, and I went to an orphanage, and I was reliant and dependent on the charity of others.
See, now I call this a universal reminder. These things happen again in our lives early on to remind us of what we wanted to address. And that in this life, Steve, is that you have to address the issues when you have Scorpio and Pluto where you do of trust. I guess that's an issue for you
trust,
in this life.
Trust has always been, I think I've done a very good job in the last maybe 10 years, but probably in my formative years, I think trust was one of the biggest issues I had. I trusted no one, essentially.
This is very typical of somebody that was left alone to fend for themselves and had to rely on other people's resources in another life. And guess what? In this life, it's not quite as catastrophic as the last life. I know it feels that way to you, but it was so incredibly catastrophic in your last life. You came into this lifetime, trust me, as bad as it feels, it was only a portion of that to remind you of what you wanted to do, to remind you that you wanted to build healthy, trusting relationships. And the reason for that, Steve, is because you're supposed to really handle and rub elbows with some very powerful people. But you'll never have access to the things that you have to with them if you don't develop trust.
Exactly. Well, this is unbelievable. It's almost like a catharsis here. It's hit on a lot of themes that played out in my life, and I don't know what to say.
I want to see what Nancy's getting for you because she's very, very intense herself. Go ahead, Nancy.
Yeah, the first thing that I come up with is that your patience level, Steve, isn't where it really needs to be for yourself. For everybody else, you're much better, but for yourself. You also worry a lot more than you'd like people to know you do. You came here with a lot of sadness that's due to turn to happiness. Once you start liking yourself, loving yourself for who you are, a lot of the cruelty that you've been going through, even as far back as like the last 9 years, is finally starting to get out of the way, coming in with a good victory card. You're very, very smart when you want to be. So don't sell yourself short. Don't let anybody else sell you short also in this lifetime, because even though money was a big stickler in the other one, you still have fear of it in this lifetime, but you're hiding it very well. Does that sound right, Steve?
Yeah, that does sound right, actually.
Okay. And the part of your fear, you come up as a Prince of Wands, which means you have a lot of deep-seated fear, and your compassion level really wants to reach out there and let people, you know, be part of you and you part of them. But you still got that fear that you are working on without a doubt, because it shows a lot of searching, a lot of working, a lot of choices, a lot of decisions. But you still have to not be afraid to let go and overcome those, just like Marguerite's telling you, because it all shows in my cards, too.
I appreciate that. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, ladies.
Well, you know, Steve, what Nancy is hitting on in the fear, that's Saturn in your chart, and that's something I didn't talk about with the fear, but that's very, very prevalent in your eighth house, and that's something that if you work on, she's absolutely right. That's your lesson in this lifetime, to get over that fear of being inadequate so that people do trust you.
So that's my Saturn lesson. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And Nancy's picking that up in the cards, and she's not even looking at your birth chart. So it's amazing how the universe, there's all these formulas to get to the answers in the universe.
Well, you guys are fabulous. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time, and it's a great show. Thanks again.
Great, Steve. You take care. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Marguerite, I have another question for you.
Sure.
A lot of people are kind of afraid of 2012 coming in. Everybody has these things, 2012. But you know what? My guides, my angels, since the time I was 6 years old, have told me 2010.
And you know what my feeling is, and the things that I have picked up and I've shared with other astrologers, that this is a time, 2012 or 2010, it is a rebirth, but it's not the end of the world.
No, it's not.
It's not. It's the beginning of a new one.
Yes.
And I think that's what people are confusing. Is that what you're getting to in 2010 too?
Yeah, because people, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's going to be a lot of things that still go on yet.
Right.
But people think that the world is coming to an end, and that's not it.
Right. That's
we are
so
going
not
to start a definitely new world here. And the problem I have, Marguerite, is that all of these kids that are here, you know, they keep drugging, those are the ones who are going to help put this back together.
Right.
And because of that, the drugging and all that stuff, they're going to have a tough time doing that. So, you know, things have to change in order for everything to continue to live. Now, it won't be like we know it,
right,
but it will be much better.
And I think that's just it. I think that's the people that have the faith that this is an evolution, if you will, that's going to take us to a higher place, and almost like, in a way, clean house in some respects.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that are embracing it. And, you know, we're not that far from the dawning, we're on the dawning of the age of Aquarius,
right,
and we're not that far from it. And that's the great period of enlightenment. And I think we have to go through this kind of a rough period where we change things and we create a new world in order to let Aquarius in.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. You know, so, I mean, like a lot of people now are starting to call me and say, oh, Nancy, I'm so depressed, I'm so upset, and they literally burst into tears.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, I understand this is the energy that we've got to go through to allow the better energy to come in. And is it going to hurt? Yeah, it's like having a death, but not a death.
See, that's what your great Leo degree is about, in the sense that you can bring that kind of hope and that kind of warmth and that kind of, you celebrate life, power, love, and talent. You have a degree in it. So that's why you're in an absolutely perfect job for this. Because you know what, Nancy? I can't turn on the news anymore because I can understand how those people feel. Everything is gloom and doom.
Oh yeah, but I don't watch the news.
Right, and that you can, and I think most of the people in the world that are feeling depressed and feeling that it's over and worried about 2012 are the people that are listening to the news and all the naysayers around us. And I think there's great hope in the world, and there's great, you know, that's their conscious level that everything's going to hell in a handbasket. It's not mine, you know.
And what I tell people, I said, you know, as soon as your alarm clock goes off, especially if it's a radio alarm, turn it off. Put your feet on the floor and yell loud and proud, this is a great day.
That's excellent. I love that. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That's the only way to do it. And you know what? Then you manifest your own great day.
Yeah. You know, and people look at me like I'm crazy. It's like, just try it. You may see some difference here. Just try it. Do it.
Right.
You know, more than once, just do it. It will surprise you what your outcome is going to be from that. you know, don't listen to the news because they are doom and gloom.
I agree. I so agree with that. I so agree with that. We have to have you on the air even more.
You know, and they like the doom and gloom because that keeps people being prisoners and living in fear. And when
exactly.
people live in fear, they do really a lot of very stupid, stupid things. And that's where we're at. So that's got to be changed. So people that are listening, they understand you're making your own stuff. Turn off the radio. Turn off the television. Don't listen to the news like you're listening to it. Now, I think there was another call, so we'll do
okay.
this call.
Yes. Hi, Marguerite. Hi, Nancy. This is Scott calling.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Scott.
My birthday is November 20th, 1960, and I was born sometime probably in between 10:20 and 10:30 p.m. in Corbin, Kentucky.
November 20th, 1960, and what time was it, hon? I'm sorry.
Something around 10:20 to 10:25, something.
A.m. or p.m.?
P.m. in Corbin, Kentucky.
Corbin. Scott, let's see what we can come up with for you here. Okay, Scott, you came into this incarnation with Cancer on the 12th house, and you have Mars in your 12th house at the time.
Yes.
And this tells me that your soul's previous existence called for the life in that time, called for the guardianship of some type of guardianship of home, family, country, or the ancestral past. And this means your care and watchful attention had to be suppressed in this past incarnation for the sake of emotional protection or domestic security. And as a result, you had to keep your attachment to either your family, your home, your country hidden in order to keep them safe in some way. So that, as a result, your parental instincts and feelings of devotion in this lifetime, Scott, are now very profound, which is why your remarkable survival skills, unwavering patriotism, and superior nurturing abilities are rarely obvious to anybody else until they're tested. While you seem in this lifetime unaffected by criticism and rejection, when you have Cancer here with Mars, which tells me this was probably a war, probably some kind of fighting that went on, you can be surprisingly moody and more vulnerable than you appear, because all these feelings and memories are very, very close to the surface of what you had to sacrifice in this past lifetime. Your hidden strengths in this lifetime, Scott, are loyalty and tenacity. Nobody will ever know what they're like until they're tested.
Mm.
Your addiction in this lifetime, or your weakness, can be food and drink. You have to be careful about those two things. But your past undoing was your inability to let go of old pain. And you have to be very, very careful about that in this lifetime. You have such a great link to the past that your memories from this last lifetime, Scott, and your feelings are really close to the surface, and you can get in touch with those feelings quicker than anybody else with any other sign on their 12th. You can tap right into those feelings in a New York minute. And sometimes you can actually believe that they're happening in this lifetime. They're so close to the surface. And you're very, very instinctual. Your instincts are extremely right on, so you should listen to your instincts, but try to take a step back from your feelings. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. You now have a deep need for intimacy and attachment to privacy, secrecy, or seclusion in both your domestic life and your relationships as a result of this past life, because you remember having to keep yourself hidden in order to keep your country, your home, or your family safe. So now you'll find yourself with this automatic reaction to privacy and seclusion, because you feel it's very, very, very detrimental if people find out who you're related to or what's going on. And that's, again, Scott, that's from the past. That's not necessary in this lifetime. You can be more open. You can be more trusting in that respect. You can unconsciously avoid the happy home and loving family you desire in this life, Scott, by either trying so hard to keep those that you care about safe that you can actually smother them or become too clingy. And you're deeply affected by your mother and your childhood and karmically connected to your parents in this lifetime. They were definitely, in particular your biological mother, whoever raised you, definitely is somebody in this past life that you shared where you had to remove yourself from the family. You were either a patriot, an historian, a genealogist, a chef, a shopkeeper, a landlord. But you have to try in this lifetime, Scott, to give up the grudges because your memories are so keen. And I'll bet you don't even realize they're memories from a past life. They are so close to the surface, and you're so good at tapping into feelings that many times they feel like they're actively happening in this life. Would you say that's true?
Yes.
Okay. You're much more instinctual, and you're much more connected to the past. You probably have a very, very incredible talent for going to level, or did you ever hear of Silver Mind Control where you can actually go to level and tap into your past lives? You have that kind of ability. And
okay.
if you started reading Tarot or working on your psychic instincts, you would find that it would probably be a really, really good, very cathartic for you. Nancy, what are you getting for Scott?
Yeah, here's Scott. I'm going to give you something to do. And for all of you that are listening out there, something that I have used to help people let go of all past hurts, pains, angers, and guilt as far back as they can remember, this lifetime and wherever else, okay?
Okay.
You're going to have to go to my website. So what everybody's going to do is go to nancyspsychicresources.com. And when you get to the main page, go all the way down to the bottom, just above the address. There's like a line of things on the far right corner of that line. There's a thing that says, let go letter. Let go letter. Click on it, bring it up, print it out, read it, and follow it exactly to a T. You know, what it does is truly help people let go of all the past hurts, pains, angers, and guilt. And Steve, you still hold them, even though you don't think you do, you hold many, many, many grudges because you're coming up as a swords person. Swords person is somebody who can be very angry inside but always wants to act like everything's okay on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound like you?
Yes.
Okay. This letter, this let go letter will help you to really let go of that so that what Marguerite is telling you is actually going to start working for you, because as long as you hold on to that past stuff of any kind, all you're going to do is keep repeating it over and over and over again. Really don't care how many lifetimes it is, okay?
Yes.
Because you hold on, and you don't trust people, and you don't even trust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't trust yourself, it's really hard to trust somebody else. True?
True.
So this is really, really hard to do. When I'm telling people to do the let go letter, it will be one of the hardest things you do in your whole entire life. But it is worth it because it works. And then you can finally start to relax, Steve, and be the person that you really are and so that you're not hiding, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Scott, Nancy just touched on something that I didn't even mention to you. She touched on the anger. And when you have Mars in the 12th like you do, she's absolutely right. This is anger from the past. You were not treated well in this lifetime. In particular, there's a man or men that may have deceived you in this particular wartime and kept you from, and as a result, maybe ended up with your family while you were trying to protect them. And there's a real resentment and anger, in particular, toward this one person, in particular, a man. And that might be something that is manifested again in this lifetime with an individual that you may know on a very personal level.
Or with authority in general, perhaps?
Yes, and it could even be the father in this lifetime or a boss in this lifetime or some. But it's very definitely a masculine influence.
Okay.
And authority in the sense of it could be the military. When you were in this war, you were in this past, and it's very, very much, as Nancy said, an anger and a resentment toward this individual and toward this system or this group that you felt that you gave everything toward and you made all the sacrifices. And her idea, Nancy's website of the Let Go letter, is fantastic. It's
yep.
Absolutely so cathartic, and it's such a wonderful exercise. I'd encourage you to definitely go to her website and take the instructions on how to write that letter and what to do with it, right down to the burning of it and
yep.
the amount of time it takes to do it. It's very cathartic, and it will be very helpful for someone with the energies and with your birth energies. You have so much to accomplish. With that Scorpio sun, Scott, you are a survivor. You have your degree in survival. As I say in my book, a Scorpio is a card-carrying defense expert. So you really did make it through that past life with flying colors, but you're hanging on to something that was done to you. And it was. I'm validating. It was done to you. but I don't want it to change what you, the superstar you're supposed to be in this life, because you're holding on to it. So all of Nancy's advice is so right on for how do you to move on, live up to the energies in your chart now.
So try it, okay? I think we may have lost him.
Oh, darn.
That's all right. He still hears it.
Okay, great shot. I hope you can.
Sometimes people have a hard time, but, you know, that's the only way they're going to get through things. But, yeah, and that's okay. Now, Marguerite, I want to go back because you know, one of the guests called in and they talked about reading your book, the Cosmic Karma,
right.
Understanding your contract with the universe. You know, and a lot of people, I think, Marguerite, are having a hard time because they don't understand what that contract may have been. Now, I know that, you know, in your book you explained, because I got it and I read it and it was great. You know, so, and I suggest for people to get it and read it because it does help them to understand. But when you were writing it, what, you know, how did you get that kind of information or know how to write that particular book?
I guess what happened was when I started practicing astrology the way our ancient astronomers practiced it, when they started looking at the soul and the birth chart and where the soul came from and what the soul was here to do, almost like a karmic DNA, if you will. And I marveled at the fact that why we didn't still practice that type of astrology, looking at, to them, every single planet had a purpose. It had a heart, it had a soul, it operated on a mental, a spiritual, and a physical. They brought the science and the spirit together in astrology. And our hard scientists today don't recognize the spiritual level of this universe. And I think these ancient astronomers got it so right that that's why they were so successful in what they were, and what they were predicting in the way they looked at the birth chart as a scientific tool. These were scientists that practiced astronomy and astrology as one science. Astronomy being the way the celestial objects moved and the way the universe worked as a whole, and astrology, how those movements affected us down here on Earth, just very much like meteorology would be, how everything moved and how it affected us. They never once said, okay, you know, you're going to die, or they never predicted our outcome. They told us the energies that were around us and what we could do with them to improve and to become better. But they also believed that they were very much our cosmic DNA, that they believed that, and that's how I wrote the book, from that perspective, that when we weren't just accidentally born into this lifetime, we chose the energies that we were born into because we had an agenda, our soul wanted to evolve. Very much like sitting down and picking out your classes for the next semester. So then we come in to this life and we start blaming everyone around us for the classes that we've gotten, when in fact we chose them so that, because we had a specific degree in mind that we were aiming for. And this is the way they looked at it. We chose the energies, so that's why we came into this life with those particular set of circumstances. And the universe is infinite and it's abundant and it's wise, and it's not going to hold our feet to the fire, but it's going to certainly keep providing us with the opportunities for the growth that we've chosen. And I say, you know, the first time it's a tap on the shoulder, we don't listen. The next time it's a larger tap, and then it keeps getting stronger and stronger. So all of a sudden we're whacked across the head with what I like to call the old universal 2x4 that brings us to our knees, and we start screaming, where were the signs? It's because we weren't paying attention. So, no, we're not being punished. It's just that we have an agreement with the universe. It will supply us with the opportunities for growth, and we will live up to them. When we don't, it just keeps getting more abundant and more creative in the way it supplies us with its opportunities. So we can, and to me, and when people say heaven and hell, I don't know how you feel, Nancy, but my idea of hell is coming back to the same life. It has nothing to do with going down with the devil in a very hot place. It has to do with not evolving and coming back with the same set of circumstances, the same talents that you've wasted, the same lessons that you never showed up for class, and having to do it over again. When other people around you are evolving, and I think that's why in this world we have some very evolved souls and we have some not so evolved souls, because it's really up to us whether we show up for class or not.
Oh, it is. I'm going to ask you another question, and it's up to you if you want to answer or not, because this is what people ask me all the time when it comes to relationships, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, knowing that you do your astrology so well, when you met your husband, were you doing astrology at the time?
Yes.
So did you do like a little chart on him?
I did a chart on him. I guess it was afterwards. I was more, I was more impressed with his ability to not think the way I looked at the universe was weird, because a lot of people, you know, I just to share a very personal story with you, we were looking up at the stars one night, and it wasn't even a particularly romantic moment, but we were looking up at the stars one night, and I said, isn't it amazing that we were actually looking at stars that no longer exist, because some of these stars have already burned out, but the speed of light, okay? And most people, I was used to most people turning to me and say, oh, you're crazy. And he said, he turned to me and said, well, I think it's even more amazing that we might be looking at the same stars George Washington looked at, and they weren't even there when he was here. And I said, okay, this is somebody I want to get to know a little bit better. Because this is the infinite, you know, ability of the universe. So then when I did his chart and I saw that he was a Leo, I thought, okay, this makes sense. I get along so well with Leos. No, when I did his chart, I think the chart is really great in relationships for not finding out if a Leo gets along with a Gemini, gets along with an Aries. I think what really is really interesting in what balances a chart is if where people's lessons are and where they have to pay back to the universe are in balance with where you are. So it's really not about sun signs. It's about what your belief system is and where you're going in this lifetime. Because as I say in the book, Neptune is about how you give back to the universe, and Saturn is the lesson that you want to learn in this universe. And I find that many times in really good relationships, there's a balance there quicker than there is, because any sun sign can get along with any sun sign. Mm-hmm. I think if the other energies are right in the chart.
Right. You know, so people say to me all along, well, I looked on the daily thing, and I, you know, this guy told me he was a Leo, and I looked his up, and I was on the daily thing, but it really gave me some bad stuff. And I said, well, first of all, you got to understand something. Those little daily things are like nothing. They're
right.
Just very generic. And if you really want to know about somebody, you're really going to have to go and do a whole study on it, you know, starting with the birth chart and other things that go with it. And I said, so don't base on what you're reading in that little
or just the sun sign. And that's true. Like you with your Leo degree, it would be like saying a teacher degree. We'll just say that, or an entertainer. We'll say a teacher. Everybody that has a teacher degree, a degree in teaching, has a real commonality. They have something that they can share, but that doesn't make them identical.
Right.
And it doesn't, what are you teaching? Are you teaching English? Are you teaching, you know, math? And where are you teaching it? What city are you teaching it? Do you have a master's degree? Where are you going? What type of teacher do you want to be? Are you teaching, you know, adults? Are you teaching children? Are you teaching handicapped children? So while there's a real commonality between all Leos and all Geminis and all Aries, there's so many nuances. That's just their degree in life. Where are their lessons? Where are they from? What was their past? That speaks more of coloring in the whole personality than just where their degree is. Any teacher can get along with any doctor, can get along with any accountant. But where are your values? Where are your principles? Where are your past? Where are you from? That makes the whole picture as to, okay, do we have much in common? Are we going in the same direction?
Yeah, which is important. Marguerite, I meant to earlier, but we didn't do it yet. Please give out your website and information where people can get a hold of you.
Sure. They can get a hold of me at, they can visit my website at www.marguerite.manning.com, just the way my name is spelled, M-A-R-G-U-E-R-I-T-E, manning.com, or you can reach me at marguerite.manning@cox.net. That's my email address, and the book is on Amazon. It's at the Edgar Cayce Institute. It's if you just Google the name Cosmic Karma, Understanding Your Contract with the Universe, you can find the book anywhere.
Okay, one more time, give out your website, because I'd like to give it out at least a couple times.
Thank you. It's www.marguerite.manning.com.
Okay. Marguerite, it's always, always, always fun talking with you. But
same here, Nancy. This hour always goes so fast. I just love being on your show. Thanks for having me. You're just such a kindred spirit of mine. I love speaking with you.
Great, because it's likewise here, too. But, you know, I do want people to understand that, you know, they do need to get a hold of you, because you have a lot of very good information, especially because you even did my granddaughter.
Oh, how is she doing? What a little firecracker. Now, there's somebody that's going places.
Yeah, she's doing okay, but she's still really kind of hard to deal with, you know?
Well, do you know why? She's brilliant. She really is.
Yes,
I think she's older than all of us.
Well, that's right.
I really do. So she's not going to take too much authority too well, because she has in her own mind that she's so superior to the rest of us.
Yeah, I tell everybody, they say, how's your granddaughter doing? I say, well, let's see, now she's 8 going on about 35.
You know, Nancy, your words are truer than you know. They're truer than you know.
No, she is a little firecracker. And it actually, it's because of her, Marguerite, that I put my 501c3 together for helping kids.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what an inspiration then. What an inspiration.
Oh, yeah, it's a real teacher. Marguerite, one more time. Give out your website to the listeners, please.
Sure. It's www.marguerite.manning.com. And thank you so much, Nancy. I just loved being here with you this hour.
Good. You're very welcome. We'll have you on some more time.
I'd love to come back. I truly do. I love your readers and your listeners, I mean, and any one of them that want to get in touch with me, I'll send them their own cosmic karmic birth charts. Just get onto my website, log in, send me your birth information, and I'll send you back, as a listener of Nancy's, your own cosmic karmic birth charts, free of charge.
Everybody do it, because it's really pretty good. So, you know, listen to what she's telling you. And Marguerite, thank you very, very much for being on the show.
You have a great holiday, Nancy. We'll talk soon, okay?
You too. You take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.